Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
7:05 in St. Louis, you're listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After, 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios, Timothy Michael McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Sullivan Vaughn with you. On your Four Seasons Penske Truck Captain's Log, Doug, this is big today.
What's big?
It's really kind of a variety program. Remember we used to do variety shows?
Now we're really
more into stock tips and swinger bulletin boards.
Yeah. A
lot of fry talk mixed in there.
And then some French fry talk. Craig Mish, it's 7:30. We're getting right into it because there are things. And we're going to get right into it after I say Four Seasons Penske Truck Captain's Log, what we have for you. Eddie McVeigh with the Maggie O'Brien's Picks of the Week. Essentially, this is where we go, fade me. Fade me, fade me, fade me. Because I'll pick games, and if you fade me, you make money. I pick games, and if you fade me, you make money.
So you pick the opposite of what you pick.
That's right. That's right.
That should be easy.
Then Lisa Ann will be with us. My DraftKings, it's not too bad. My picks, bad. But Lisa Ann will be with us at 9:15, and I also am looking forward to getting her perspective on the passing of August Ames. That is at 8:15 if you're listening in Denver. Or Albuquerque? Is Albuquerque Mountain Time?
I think it is. I don't know. I'll check.
Wow. Just piss on the people of Albuquerque.
I don't know. How many Albuquerqueans do we have listening to this presentation?
Plus Iggy's Drops of the Week, Burnley Color Cuts of the Week, and the Hot Shots Email of the Day. And a lot of people are kind of like, wow, okay, it's December 8th and there's no Misty Plops win? Is he starting to fade?
It could be.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Maybe he's hurt. Maybe he's...
He had my vote each of the last 2 days, but my vote was rendered meaningless by you two gentlemen.
You know, even Hall of Famers, Tim, have a small period of time where
not
they
Danny
don't
Tartable.
Perform. Baby Bull.
Danny Tartable's not a Hall of Famer.
Veterans Committee.
Boy, when Father Jose.
When Roger Clemens got that, 3,000th strikeout, 300 win, and everyone was crowding around him, I interviewed Danny Tartable.
Ooh, nice kid.
Off in the corner.
Did you?
So, Doug, the reason we're getting right into it here, and you're welcome to get into it as well, get all over us, 855-282-8255, is because late last night, Craig Mish and Ken Rosenthal, and I guess John Heyman, but the two that stand out to me most are Mish, who's going to be with us in, Doug, I've got it at now exactly 22 minutes, 22 all right. minutes here on the appliance discounter phone lines, tweeted out a number of... moments for Cardinal fans. And then I would also imagine Giants fans, Dodgers fans, but now welcome to the party, Cubs fans, Astros fans, and Yankees fans. So for those of you not aware, and if you're not on Twitter, kind of like how I look at the Plowhawk, I envy you. But if you are, you may be aware of it. If not, you're not, and here you go. Doug, is it Jim Bowden or Jim Bowden?
Bowden.
I believe it's Bowden.
It's Bowden. It's Bowden.
So 8 hours ago, Bowden tweets out, Craig Mish and I report that a source close to John Carlos Stanton has indicated he is inclined to accept a trade to the Dodgers or Yankees under the right circumstances. And you're like, what? Where the hell did they come from? Mm-hmm. But just as a brief aside for the Yankee fans listening, and I think...
Couple three.
The idea of Stanton and Judge in the outfield playing at that stadium.
It's frightening.
Freaking frightening. But anyway, I digress because I know most of the people here don't give a damn about that, and I totally understand. So Mish then tweets, now told Stanton will approve Dodgers, Yankees.
No.
Cubs.
Oh.
That'd be the worst.
And Astros. Or the four teams that played in the LCS. Now, some people will say, hey, where is the ocean in Chicago? But
Lake Michigan.
And then I guess that there is that Houston doesn't sit on an ocean, but I remember flying out of there one time and I guess we were pointed toward Galveston as we were taking off.
Yeah.
And like right after you got in the air, you could see the ocean, I guess the Gulf, you know, because you're only like 80 miles away. The point being this.
There is a beach in downtown Chicago, too.
That's right. Right on Lake Michigan. There's some tail there. The point being is this, though. When Mish was on with us on Monday, he said something, and I asked Eric Gould about it yesterday. But it's just, just like this whole thing has been a speculation festival. Mish, on his own, said, I at first thought the reason Stanton didn't want to come to St. Louis was geographical. Now I'm not so sure. And it was a cryptic comment. And then those who don't like Mike Matheny took it in that direction.
The people that say that everyone knows this team is terrible and
took
no
it in
one
that direction. Yeah. So I thought that was odd. So I asked Derek about it, but then just got into what Derek has said throughout. If he doesn't want to come to the Cardinals, why hasn't he rejected the Cardinals? Well, then we get to this tweet from Craig Mish: Cardinals and Giants not on Stanton's approval. Unclear if either or both teams have been told anything to this point. As I noted on every radio show and every podcast and the video I did last night, Stanton's desire to win has been greatly understated, and this is not about geography. The only two deals that were agreed upon with the Marlins were with St. Louis and San Francisco, so Stanton took meetings with both of those clubs despite not being on his preferred list. Again, unclear at this time where they stand. I do not believe the Cubs and Astros are involved at a high level at this time. That is a belief. I do not have facts to back that up. I may never sleep again. Please, Giancarlo, end this.
Mm.
So a little plea there. So Ken Rosenthal. So this isn't just Mish, although I would think at this point...
He's credible.
Yes. Yeah. So now, with Rosenthal, this is 2017, which is something that we might want to use for a promo, because that was really a really thought-provoking
and
take.
And it's Major League Baseball we're talking. It's Major League Baseball.
Thank you.
That added a little more clout.
And the
to
Blues
it.
Won last night in the National Hockey League,
mm-hmm.
while the Falcons stunned the Saints in the National Football League.
Well, you know a lot about the sports, don't you?
Clip that off. So, the reason I say this is 2017, Rosenthal has a report that is certainly of value to Cardinal fans. The issue is it's behind a paywall. Now, I decided, and I don't know what story it was over the last couple of weeks that made me subscribe to theathletic.com, which is where Rosenthal, Jeremy Rutherford, formerly the Post-Dispatch, write, and a number of writers. And so he has this, and in reference to the Cardinals, he says, Stanton's thinking is fluid, other sources say. He does not deal in absolutes. Perhaps the Giants could sway him if they could land Japanese two-way star Shohei Ohtani. Perhaps the Cardinals could build their own convincing case by trading for Rays closer Alex Colome and third baseman Evan Longoria.
Huh.
Yeah. So there, just for the record, financially, what that would mean to the organization over the next six seasons, you would have Stanton's $300 million. Granted, that's over 10. So whatever the math would be on that. Over six seasons. I guess I can do the math fine. I went to St. Louis U High. I will do it.
You'll have someone do it for you.
Well, that's kind of actually how it really works. $180 million from Stanton would be the next six. And then you would have Longoria, and he's $85 million over the next six. And a team option for 2023, for the record. And he would be 37 in that season. So that, to me, that's just not how the Cardinals have done business. Not because they're cheap.
No.
Got to beat it to the punch. But because they haven't handled their finances irresponsibly, which is why they've been able to be competitive for 18 years and also win world championships and pennants, is my opinion. So regarding the Dodgers now having the Yankees, Astros, and Cubs in the mix, Rosenthal writes the following: the Miami Marlins showed their hand by trading D. Gordon on Thursday. Not that their plan to cut payroll is much of a secret. Gordon, lacking a no-trade clause, could not stop the Marlins from sending him to the Seattle Mariners, nor can he stop the Mariners from moving him to second base to center field. But Giancarlo Stanton, as the Marlins are acutely aware, cannot be pushed around so easily. In recent days, multiple major league sources have told The Athletic that Stanton does not want the San Francisco Giants or St. Louis Cardinals, the two teams that have reached trade agreements with the Marlins, pending the players' approval. So that is also corroborated now by Ken Rosenthal, who posted that story late last night.
Where's Stanton now? Where's he in Florida? Is he back? Is that where he is?
LA. He has a Hollywood Hills home.
Yeah. So let's go there The only guys
let's take the show there.
The only guys that are going to save this thing is us. I mean, let's be honest, Tim.
I guess. I kind of want to watch the Heisman ceremony tomorrow.
We could fly out there and land right in the middle of the fires of hell.
You know, we'll put on our TMA jumpsuits.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get that little card table, and we'll do a remote out there.
Oh,
and this is save our team.
That's not a bad idea.
Save, and you think that would sway him, especially if the Cardinals
think
get
about
Colomé.
Think about it. You're
that's what's.
Hey, I didn't include his salary there. I was listing Longoria.
You think about it. All of a sudden, he's at his mansion in L.A. and right outside the gate, where there's a really nice hedge,
mm-hmm.
We set up a little card table, and he's like, "Hey, what's going on there? Hey, guys, what are you doing? We're doing a show because we really want you to be a Cardinal."
That's right.
Well, they're not on my list anymore. Well, hear our pitch. Why don't you sit down? First of all, be great for the show. All of a sudden, we're standing live. And then we convince them that living in St. Louis is a great thing.
You said that with a straight face.
Yeah, what are you going to say to convince them?
Me?
What are you going to lie about?
Well, first of all, here's what we say. Someone else said it on the show. Let me just tell you about St. Louis. It is not the worst place in the world to live.
Right?
You start with a strong pitch, and then you build off of that.
That's the name of the new
Chamber
of Commerce.
It is not the worst place in the world to live.
You lose games in the NFL and still win.
That's friend of the show, Trent Dilfer. I left one on the table there by not playing that and asking about it. You wouldn't have asked him about it, Plowhawk?
I don't know if he would have remembered, and I think he'd be pretty embarrassed if he heard that hot take.
Oh, somebody could play this show at any moment for us, and we'd be embarrassed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our careers are ruined.
We could replay what we just said, and we'd be embarrassed.
Right. That's right. So let me see what the text inbox is saying about the whole thing. I would imagine people are understandably frustrated, and you know, so I don't know how many times I've seen, so it's not limited to one person, and I get this. I don't blame people. They're frustrated. Irritated, angry. A lot of people are saying F off, piss off, move on, whatever the case might be.
I told you he wasn't coming. That's the big one.
Well, told you so, guys. Yeah. A delight. But I also understand it. First off, I understand it because Cardinal fans are passionate. And unless you can really, really get into Blues hockey at this point of the season, or really, really get into college basketball, or really, really get into the idea of Missouri playing a Tuesday night game and Houston in front of 17,000 people in a couple of weeks. It's a barren time. Although Tiger looked good on Thursday and Friday, Doug, I don't know if that carries over to this Friday. But you go, okay, well, the Cardinals might be getting the National League MVP. You think that it actually could happen, or at least there's a chance. And it's not the organization's fault, which is, for some, a good, fun time to bitch about. But instead, it's a rejection of what felt like at first the city and St. Louis having, some St. Louisans anyway, having an inferiority complex or not necessarily a whole lot of bullishness on the city at this moment can take that personal. But now, if the perspective is, well, I'm only going to go to these four teams because, as Craig Mish says, his emphasis is on winning, and it's not about geography. I have to say, even though over the course of the last couple of years, on at least this dais, I haven't been as bullish on the Cardinals' chances as you two gentlemen, I still am a little, I have to say, surprised in his analysis, if that is what this is about, that he doesn't think the Cardinals are close to winning. And that is not something that I would share. Now, would I take those other four teams' chances of winning a world championship above the Cardinals at this point? It's tough to say because you don't know what these rosters are going to look like when spring training goes. I guess based on what we know right now, I suppose I would. I'm just of the opinion that the Cardinals are going to make significant moves. I mean, by the end of Friday, the Cardinals will have a closer. That's my opinion. And by that, I mean things are going to get done here at the winter meetings. So I don't know if it's a combination of not wanting to live in St. Louis and feeling like the Cardinals aren't at the same level as the Cubs, Dodgers, Yankees, and Astros. I don't know if, you know, all four of those teams are top five markets. You don't think of Houston necessarily in the same category, but New York, LA, and Chicago. I don't know, but I understand Cardinal fans being really frustrated by this because this has essentially been a one-month dry hump. And after really, for me, a couple minutes of dry humping, I like to move on.
We get it. I get all that. I just think that if you're going to, you know, say, it's, you know, they know that ownership's cheap and this and that. I think the Cardinals gave it their best shot. And I don't think anyone on this show ever said Stanton is coming. I think we said there's a chance, and it's based on speculation. None of us really know. And maybe I'm off base, but I just believe deep down in my heart that if Gaga had worn that Cardinals jersey, Stanton would have already said, I'm going to St. Louis.
Wouldn't have hurt. Pretty selfish on her part.
Yep.
To leave us stranded like this. I guess we shouldn't be that surprised, really. If you're one of the premier players in the game and you get to pick where you want to go, why wouldn't you want to play for the Yankees or the Dodgers or the Cubs or the world champion Astros?
Make it happen, Mosellock.
He might go to Houston and hit 70 home runs in that park.
Well, that's a poke out to left field.
The Yankees look like they're well positioned to have a run here. The Dodgers are coming off a 103 win season. The Cubs are built well for the future. Why wouldn't you want to play for one of those?
You know
teams?
Why? Because they don't have the best fans in baseball. We do. Thank you, Tim.
St. Louis. It's not the worst place.
We love you.
And the Yankees have a hell of a farm system, too, so they can, not as great as the Cardinals, but still they have some offensive weapons that they can trade to if Marlins want to replace D. Gordon. I know they have a good shortstop in their system, so
I think
that could work.
I think this will be another deal like Albert Pujols, where right now we'll say, doggone it, we could have had this guy, and in 2 or 3 years we'll be saying, thank God we didn't get that guy. You want to pay him $25 million when he's 38 years old?
More than that.
He's had one monster season. He's had a couple of really good season. One monster season, and you're going to give up 3 or 4 top-notch players and pay this guy until he's almost 40 years old? I don't think it's the
way
to go.
And I think you're right. I think that's a rational assessment of it. However, if you want a bat, I would take him over everyone else just who's available, not looking long-term, just thinking, you know, first few years of pop, then that's, I guess, and I think that's the disappointing one. And I'm watching it on my phone, scrolling through, and I'm like, all right, okay, he's not going to, that's fine, he's not going, oh, the Cubs are on his list. Oh, no,
yeah, not the Cubs.
Right? I mean, that's when your heart
falls on
the
those three
floor.
Other teams caught me off guard. That hasn't been discussed at all.
But the Cubs, boom.
So Craig Mish going to be with us here in 7 minutes to get his perspective on this and what has transpired. And if it's debt, because let me make this clear, and I want to reiterate, and like I said, and the reason why I brought the whole thing up about it's 2017, and now journalism is being put forth in different ways and consumed in different ways. Ken Rosenthal has a report that elaborates on, not necessarily on what Mish says, but it's from the same kind of thought process that he's saying no to the Giants and Cardinals, but it's behind a paywall. So I also recognize of the people we're talking to, how many have actually read that report? Because, again, it's behind a paywall. And even if you tweet it and share it on Facebook, how many people can actually access it? So it should be said that Rosenthal is not saying the Cardinals and Giants are dead. He said that Stanton's thoughts on the whole thing are fluid. But the thing that I thought that stood out about that is he said if the Giants could get Ohtani, it could change his mind. And then if the Cardinals could get Colome and Longoria,
it really? Could...
You really think he said
really?
That?
You know, but the point being in that, because I mean, that's just like I read that. And I'm like, what in the world? But the point being is, yeah, it's he just isn't going to live in St. Louis. It's just kind of, you know, versus the cosmopolitan cities of Miami, L.A., New York, Chicago. It's just not there. But if they can somehow get Longoria, then he's in. But the point being, he feels like the Cardinals aren't at that level, and that's that.
Well, they're not right now.
I know, but I also don't feel like it's like a pick 15 other teams that you kind of go, yeah, they don't really have a shot. And of course, in baseball, especially with 10 teams getting into the postseason, granted, you know, 4 of them are playing a 1-game play-in. You know, you can have some certainly you can have some surprises, but you know, if the Cardinals were one of the 10 teams in the playoffs. Or won the National League Central. I mean, how much, you know, again, it's so tough. Now, Joe Lenardi can see into the future, but for the three of us, you don't know what the rosters are going to be. But if the Cardinals won the National League Central next year, would you be surprised? Hell no. I think Cubs fans would acknowledge that. So that part there, surprised. So as I wrote this morning when I was discussing this with some people on the TMA fan page on Facebook, I get, even though I know this would be frowned upon in like older circles in St. Louis, but it's not a shot at St. Louis. I'm looking at it as a 27, 28-year-old with $300 million and can go anywhere he wants, or worst-case scenario, to stay in Miami, which Rosenthal and Heyman both have referenced recently. He isn't totally against, which is why I always thought it was odd that Mish was saying it was 0% he would stay there. But whatever. Maybe, you know, he clearly knows more about this Marlins and Stanton relationship than we do, as he's been breaking a lot of stories on it. But yeah, I don't think St. Louis would be at the top of my list as, again, a 28-year-old single guy who can live anywhere with $300 million. And that to me is not a referendum on John Carlos Stanton's interest in winning, because it's not like he said, hey, I sure wouldn't mind playing for the Mets because I want to live in New York because it'd be cool and I can shoot it in the meatpacking district at the Cubs. He's not saying that. He's listing four teams who all were in the LCS. Now, they all happen to be top five markets, three of the four certainly cosmopolitan cities. But he just rejected what I think we would all agree is a world-class city in San Francisco. So it's not just about living in a cosmopolitan city.
No, it's about doing both. It's about living exactly where you want to live on a great team.
And he has the ability to do that because right. The Marlins and their asinine previous ownership group gave him an absolutely irresponsible contract.
Their old president admitted that. He said their hand was forced and it was his biggest regret because it gives the player all the power and usually there's consequences.
Which is the reason that you don't necessarily want him here.
Like I said,
same contract. You don't want that.
For the reasons that Doug has pointed out, that we've all pointed out, there's always a risk with a contract of this size for a guy his age, for really any player with a contract that size. However, I did want him, but I would have been fine if the Cardinals were able to land a plan B that upgrades their offense, a real legitimate bat in the middle of the lineup, maybe two, that also includes bullpen help and maybe a starter. But then you read that the Cubs are on his list, on Stanton's list, and that's the thing that's kind of deflating.
But it's not to say the Cubs have made an offer.
No,
he's just agreed that would be a place he's gone.
But what it does is it draws people in. Like the Dodgers initially weren't interested, and he's going to do his best to draw them in. He's going to do that with the Yankees and the Cubs. And I don't know if you saw it. It might be story number two in all of baseball. But Schwarber, I don't know if you know, the guy who has killed the Cardinals in the past, wasn't very good last year, has said his plan is to get into the best shape of his life for spring training.
Wow, I wonder if he'll go down there throwing free and easy.
He's going to throw free and easy, and he's going to be in the best shape of his life.
Oh,
he admitted
no.
Maybe he wasn't in the best shape.
Really? It could be the Cubs. Can't afford him either. They're going to be paying Bryant a boatload of money and Rizzo a boatload of money.
They were able to get Jason Hayward for $200 million.
Yeah, they're paying him a ton, and Lester's a ton, and Contreras is going to make a ton here someday soon. They may not want anything to do with that.
Doug, you have to question all of Ken Rosenthal's writing now because he is on a pay site. He hurt himself going that route. Thanks. That's from the 314.
Well, I think they might be more likely to go right to the edge, write more outrageous things to get you to buy that product.
I don't believe that Ken Rosenthal is making things up because he's on a pay site.
No, I don't think he'd make
record,
it up.
But I think
they're going to have to try to do something to get people to buy it.
Guys, what the Cardinals need to do is let Stanton visit the Build Your Own Nacho stand and tell him that he can have any fupa he wants. Mae Young's newborn hand?
That would hold some cachet.
I don't think it would.
If you give him the nachos in one of those big Cardinals helmets.
On a 98-degree day in July, just kind of salad in on the third baseline at 3:45 with the sun beating down on the sweaty gut.
And the waft of BO in the air, sandwiched in a couple of heavy set guys with their shirts off.
Yeah. Starting the wave and really essentially verbally assaulting you if you don't participate.
But
I don't think he's seen that yet.
But wait, let's go outside the stadium in left field and smoke about five cigarettes between innings.
Plowhawk just took offense.
That gets even hotter. I think, big picture, it'll be the best thing to happen that the Cardinals won't get him.
Doug, you and I are on. I don't necessarily go best thing.
Well,
the way I look at it, it's similar to what do I think we'd be saying, and I can't wait to be doing the show in 2029 when we can look back on this.
Oh,
what's wrong?
I'm not going to be here in 2029.
Happened. Where are you going to be? Oh, you're going to 101. You're going to go to 101. Great.
How about dirt napping?
Great.
How about that?
What did you put out a list of stations you'd go to?
Putting out a list of cemeteries I'll agree to be buried in.
That we would look back on it and go, are we happy that the Cardinals did this? Now, I do think it could have a major, major positive impact over the next five seasons. Could. Certainly could. Would and actually would bet on it to do so. But you are leveraging your organization in a major way to one player. And the Plowhawk, I saw you and Charlie Marlowe and Joe Statz all having a wonderful – and, Doug, those are three of my favorite people, my Mount Rushmore favorite people. It would be Plowhawk, Joe Statz, Charlie, and Tegan Presley. And to see three of the four interacting, and I haven't seen Tegan yet about this discussion. The Plowhawk –
What about you were, Zach, our old intern? You loved him.
Oh, yeah. We got somebody on Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
But Tegan's still on. Plowhawk, what were you saying?
Well, Charlie was discussing not many players, if any, have really fulfilled or lived up to the full end of their contracts. I brought up Joey Votto as being a guy, obviously not making the playoffs on a terrible team, but year in and year out, very consistent, has lived up to his, I don't think he got $200 million. I forgot the exact amount that he got, I think $180 or something. And then they brought up Max Scherzer and Clayton Kershaw, which I respect. I was thinking more offensive players. But Kershaw has lived up to early stages of his long contract, and obviously Scherzer went in the Cy Young.
But those weren't 10-year contracts.
No, I know. Well, it's hard to judge. That contract doesn't really happen that much. I'm just thinking over $150 million with kind of my thing, 7 years, 6 year, $150 million to me is like a mega contract.
Mm. And the point is those things are so
years,
hard
but,
to judge,
yeah.
You know, until the end. You know, but there's a risk. I mean, there's no question that there's a huge risk associated with it. Now, if the Cardinals don't get him, and like Tim, you pointed out on MLB Network that they were going to pivot, are they going to pivot?
Actually, it was an inaccurate.
Are you going to pivot, in case they're listening? Are they going to pivot to Andre Ethier now? What are they going to do?
Ooh, Ethier. Maybe get Ethier, Adrian Gonzalez, Scott Kazmir.
See, my thing is,
Rafael Palmeiro wants back in the game.
All right, Craig Mish is the one who got this whole thing going last night on the Twitter tweets. And he has been a regular on the radio program. I am really looking forward to getting his perspective on what is going on right now with Giancarlo Stanton. But also something of note last night, because if the Cardinals aren't going to be in on Stanton, then people are saying, well, then perhaps they can move in on Yelich or Ozuna. But I saw last night Craig tweet out that he thought that the Marlins would trade Ozuna, but not Yelich. So we're going to discuss that as well. Joining us right now here on 590 The Fan KFNS, the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Douglas Elvin Vaughn. It's Craig Mish on the Appliances Counter phone lines. Craig, good morning.
Well, good morning. It's good to be on again with you guys, as usual. And we continue on here with this incredible story that...
doesn't end.
That's Yeah, I mean, I you know, at this point, like I told John before I came on, you know, you get to a point where, and I think I'm at that point where, listen, I've been very transparent with this whole thing and giving you guys, you know, kind of behind the curtain, but it's like I'm not even believing some of my own stuff, and this is why it has required so much work in order to put all of these pieces together and put this puzzle together to get to this point. It's really mind-boggling.
I mean, last night, for real, I was lying in bed getting ready to go to sleep, you know, as we get up early to do the show, and just quickly checked Twitter, and I'm like, oh, my God, you know, with what you had tweeted out. And Ken Rosenthal had a story as well, which corroborates much of what you said. But let's start with this, and then there's a whole lot to get into, as you just made reference to, Craig. Your understanding, and you have been on this, like I said, throughout your appearances on the show, dating back to July regarding Stanton and St. Louis, is that Giancarlo Stanton has not approved both the Cardinals and the Giants, and therefore currently, at the very least, is not on board with coming to St. Louis or San Francisco. What can you tell us about that development?
Okay, so Ken Rosenthal reported, I'll try to do it with a timeline. So mm-hmm. Ken Rosenthal last night, before I put my story out, had a story from The Athletic, the website that he's now spearheading from a baseball perspective, that Stan, at this stage, I don't want to use the wrong words, but it didn't look like, or he hasn't, or he won't accept a trade to both the Cardinals and Giants. And I didn't, I have to go back and check that to be absolutely sure.
That's correct. That's what he wrote. Yes.
Okay. That was not something that I had heard. I had not heard that. And then I saw, in addition to that, that Ken put out that he would prefer to go to the Dodgers and the Yankees. And so with all of this work that I've been doing and working, by the way, on the teams that he would approve, this did match what I had heard, in addition to a couple of other teams that I had heard also. But in trying, and before I put anything out, I'm so careful, especially with something like this, to make sure that it is confirmed. So when Jim Bowden, who I host a radio show with every day on Sirius XM, texted me and told me that he heard, that the Yankees are back in, and that the information, at least, because, you know, I had shared information with him, too, that he could confirm, I thought, okay, at this point, I believe that I have enough here with everything that I've done to go ahead and put out the report of what I had heard from many, many sources. But in being very careful with it, that's kind of the way it happened. And I'm trying to choose my words carefully here because it's early and I want to make sure I don't say the wrong thing.
No, I understand and appreciate that. So that's the Yankees element of it, but you also then later included the Cubs and Astros. From a St. Louis perspective, the rejection, if that's the right word, of the Cardinals is the headline here, and I think secondary is the fact that now the Cubs are on the list, which came out of nowhere for us, and I think for most Cardinal fans listening to this. So let's start with the rejection of St. Louis. Is Ken Rosenthal described, and you cited Rosenthal's report on The Athletic, Stanton's thinking is said to be fluid. In other words, that if the Giants could land Ohtani, that could change things for him, and if the Cardinals could land Colome and Longoria, that could change his thinking. Is it your understanding, Craig, that the door could still be open for Stanton to come to St. Louis, or is it your understanding that that door is now closed?
It was very late that all of this came out, and as of last night, I had heard that the Cardinals and the Giants were still involved. When I say that my report makes no sense, it's just like it kicks you guys a little bit. It kicks me to see the Cubs on there too, because then, let me go back here. What I was told early on in this process and working on the story, and somebody very important, really one of the best sources that I had, told me, no matter what you do in this process and no matter how you report it, just understand that when it all comes out, and I think I keep quoting the same terminology because I'm trying to, is the most understated aspect of what's going on here is Stanton's desire to win. And that is above everything else. So that being said, all of what you saw last night does make sense, but I'm a firm believer that the Cardinals are in that conversation, and adding him puts them right in that conversation with those teams too. So really, for me, so this is why it's crazy. I don't get it. Inevitably, is this just a ploy, the whole thing to get to LA? Man, I mean, it may just be at this point. I'm not sure. But I'm kind of along the ride with you guys here on some of this.
To try and pin it down, to be clear, you are saying that the Cardinals and the Giants, but the interest of our audience is the Cardinals and the Giants are actually still in, but your list...
I don't know the answer.
But you do know that the Dodgers, Yankees, Cubs, and Astros are now approved. You do know that.
I know that those four teams are teams that he would play for.
Okay.
He would play for those four teams. I don't know to what level each team is in it at this point. Even maybe one of the teams or two are not in it at all, and they're completely out, and it's just a preference of his. I don't know that answer either. This is, again, a puzzle, trying to piece it together source by source, piece by piece, text by text, conversation by conversation, and that's kind of where we're at. I don't know the answer as to, Ken Rosenthal has been involved in this. I mean, you guys have been having me on here for, the last 5 months. Ken Rosenthal for the last 30 years has been reporting on baseball. So I certainly trust him more than I trust me. All I can do is give you what I was told, and that's and his report says that they're out. I just have not heard that at this point.
No, to be clear, his report does not say that they're out. He said that he did not approve them, but he said that, Stanton's thinking is fluid, and if the Cardinals could do something, and he cites Colome and Longoria, that perhaps, not saying that that would do it, but that perhaps it would change his mind, which is odd to me, because I think in St. Louis, even though, of course, he's listed now, at least you're listing, Craig, four teams that are approved by Stanton, and they all were in the LCS last year. I think in St. Louis, and I would think around baseball, you wouldn't consider St. Louis a team that wouldn't be in the mix for a championship next year. Their odds right now to win the World Series are ninth overall in baseball. So when you were saying on Monday, which came out of nowhere, that you didn't think that this was necessarily just geographic, people here started wondering, well, what does that mean? And then they started to try to read between the lines. Does he not like Matheny? Does he not like what he hears about the Cardinal clubhouse? What could it mean if it's not geographic?
It means the Cubs are on the list. So it made no sense.
So let me ask you this, because as you point out, it is a puzzle. It's a jigsaw puzzle, except it's worse because I think there's some pieces missing. You know, we're trying to piece it together without some of the information that we need. So I think understanding where he's at, or at least trying to, might help us try to come to terms with this. So the other teams that were added as teams he would play for, in your opinion, and we know it's speculation, but again, it's a puzzle and we're just trying to see where pieces may fit. Do you believe that this is him giving the Marlins more options for a suitable landing place where he could stomach, or is this a ploy to open it up and see if he can get the Dodgers to be more aggressive and end up there? How do you see it? And I know it's just conjecture.
Yeah, it is. And again, I'll go back to the statement that I made. This is kind of my go-to because it's the, you know, it's the direct quote, really the direct quote, Jim, about the being understated as to how much he wants to win. That's all I was told. So when you guys had me on Monday and I said it wasn't about geographical, just know what I knew now in the back of my mind. I was working on this. And thought to myself, well, that doesn't add up with you know what I was told, especially for the Cubs to be, you know, for their names at least to be floated at that time. So, you know, I mean, I wish I had a more concise answer for you. I apologize. That's the best I have.
No, we understand that it's all, you know, it's all conjecture at this point, and we're just trying to read the tea leaves, though.
I haven't seen it reported that the Yankees, Cubs, or Astros have been involved in any negotiations at all with the Marlins. Does it kind of feel like this is all kind of getting back to the Dodgers, that maybe he's going to do whatever it takes to wind up at home in his hometown?
It feels that way. It feels that way at this point. It really does. It's always been speculated that, but the assumption was that it was geographical and it was him just wanting to go home and play in front of his hometown team and the team that he grew up watching. And we all kind of said to ourselves, well, if that inevitably ends up what he wants to do, you can't begrudge him for that. But at the same time, and I don't know where they stand with this, and if, you know, with Ken mentioning this last night and Jim Bowden obviously referring to it as well, is that if the Yankees are indeed somewhat of a factor here, then the whole thing is kind of thrown up in the air at this point. And I think that, and again, this is my speculation as well, is that, I mean, does it now open the door for the Mets to wake up this morning and say, you know, what do we have to do to get into this? We know he won't come to us, but here's what we're willing to do.
What you had been told by your most trusted source, which you stated earlier on in our interview, that do not underestimate Stanton's desire to win in this whole thing.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
That would counter that.
So let's eliminate the Mets because, again, just waking up. So let's use a team. Could we throw Cleveland in there? I don't even know. But I mean, we have to go with some of the best teams in baseball, I suppose, at that point. Let's say the Mariners, hypothetically, are able to – they just got Gordon. They are able to land Ohtani this week. Let's use that as a hypothetical. And then all of a sudden, let's say the Mariners get involved, and the Mariners would appear to be at least a top 10 team, just like the Cardinals at this point, especially from an American League perspective. Would he be willing to go down that road? I don't know. Again, all speculation at this point.
If the Cardinals do, in fact, have to move on. I don't know how much you've checked in on the other guys, and they are interested in one of the other outfielders. I saw someone tweet out, and it's hard to keep a scorecard, that they might want to keep Yelich and deal Ozuna. Do you know which outfielder, if there is one of between the two of Ozuna and Yelich, the Cardinals might be more interested in?
Yeah, I'm not sure about the Cardinals, but I did spend a lot of time yesterday looking at that possibility between those two players. I've spent a lot of time. I'm here in South Florida, so that's really been the primary goal for me, is to really find out what's going on with those two teams. I really think that in my heart of hearts, Ozuna is the one that they're going to end up moving. And as I put out there yesterday, I think that to get Marcell Ozuna, and whether you're the Cardinals, if it comes to that, or you're the Giants, or you're another team, I think that what you're going to have to do is take on one of these contracts of a player that they wouldn't want to pay necessarily for 2018. Junichi Tozawa is a name I put out there. Brad Ziegler is another name and somewhat attractive to teams as well. And then you have Martin Prado, who's going to make $18 million next year to play somewhere else. Or the Marlins have a young third baseman named Brian Anderson. So I haven't gotten that gauge as far as where the Cardinals are at, because again, as of last night, guys, I thought that they were still in this.
And they may well be, right? And they may well be.
They may well be. I'm not eliminating that. Look, again, one reporter versus another in this situation, I would back Ken Rosenthal in this, but from, you know, I've been pretty on top of this too, and from my perspective, I just simply haven't been told by anyone that I've spoken to in the process yet that they are out. And I put out the percentages. People are always asking me to update that.
Doug, we love the percentages, don't
yeah,
we? Do,
yeah, we can sink
our teeth. It's like, what
that.
Do I really know? You know, but I had the Cardinals at like 25, I think, maybe yesterday. I lowered them a little bit, and now I got to lower them obviously a little bit after last night. I can't be foolish and ignore everybody else's report, but I can't say that it's a 0%. And if the names on you know, the information that I put out there tells you anything, you know, to me, and again, I've gone on San Francisco stations, I'd say this again, I think the Giants will put themselves right back in a position to win again soon. They're a great franchise, just like the Cardinals. But if I put both franchises up against each other right now, the Cardinals have a better chance to win than the Giants right now. So how can I eliminate the Cardinals and keep the Giants in? I can't do that. So that's my opinion.
And Yelich has a more cost-efficient contract, right? He's under contract. I think it was like $10, $11 million for a guy with his upside. Ozuna, you don't know what it's going to be over the next few years in terms of cost for a team, and he is coming off his best year. He's been a little up and down. Can you assess those two guys as to who you think might be a better fit for a ball club looking for an upgrade in the outfield?
Well, you have to know with Ozuna that he's going to go to free agency. So this is in 2 years, you'll have to fight for him amongst a lot of other teams in free agency. He's a Scott Boras client, and we know the situation with that. The majority of his clients, I don't know what the statistics are, but the majority of them at the very least are going to go to free agency. For the Cardinals' perspective, I think Ozuna is the better fit. I really do, because they need a power bat, and he seems to fit that bill. I think that he's at the very least an above-average left fielder. I don't know that he's a Gold Glove out, but he made some spectacular plays last year. And, you know, he, to me, over the last couple of years, has shown that I think that everything that you're seeing is legitimate with him. So I could see him fitting in very nicely. Yelich took a little bit of a step back last year. But again, he has a very friendly contract. I think that he's kind of like a lot of the other guys the Cardinals have, and that's no knock on him. But I just think what the Cardinals are searching for, or what they will be searching for, is a big power bat. And I think Ozuna is that.
We've seen other teams in recent years tank it. The Astros, Cubs, Phillies all did that, traded their top players. This is an extreme example now, what's going on in Miami. If they lose Stanton and Gordon and Ozuna, having lost Jose Fernandez a year ago, and that tragic death in a town that's already lukewarm on that team at best, boy, they're looking, they could be setting some attendance records, couldn't they? I mean, it's going to be a rough year.
Yeah, but it's the right move. It's the right move for them. And I catch a lot of heat for this here in South Florida, but I'm a firm believer that they're doing the right thing. And they're doing the right thing not because that they want to trade Stanton. And I've spoken about this many times. They would love to keep Stanton. He hit 59 home runs last year. And when he's healthy, he's going to hit 50 for whoever he plays for next year and probably 50 the year after that. He's 27 years old. But the reality is that the way that this franchise was saddled before the new ownership came in, Derek Jeter, Bruce Sherman, those are the two names, prominent names in terms of the ownership group, contracts were horrendous. Horrendous given away by the Marlins last year. And all you have to do, guys, is look at the payroll for this year. I know some teams have payroll issues too, but with the Marlins' position as to where they are in terms of franchises and the amount of winning which they've done, which is zero, to have a potentially $140, $150 million payroll and you're only winning 70 games, it's not realistic. They have Wei-Yin Chen. He's pitched 7 or 8 games the last 2 years. In 2 years, he's going to make as much as Stanton. Like, this, it's incredible. They have Edinson Volquez is going to make $13 million this year. He's going to be out the whole year. He had Tommy John surgery. Martin Prado, $18 million. Ziegler, $9 million. Junichi Tozawa, who I could not believe got more than a one-year deal. The Marlins gave him a two-year deal and gave him $12 million. He's making $7 this year. I mean, he would be a non-roster player on just about every team in baseball. It's not Jeter and Sherman's fault. This is what has to be done.
Yeah. So you think we'll get any conclusion to this Stanton thing? You think it'll happen in the winter meetings or just maybe just linger for a long time still?
I have no idea. I was so wrong, right? I was so wrong in saying it was 2 to 3 days.
Yeah.
So, you know, I thought the 2 to 3 days was the indication that you guys would get and that the Giants would get. And they may have. They may have. Maybe we're just finding out about it now, but maybe they knew right away. It would seem to not be the case because the general manager of the Giants went on the radio, I think it was it yesterday or the day before?
2 days ago,
they felt that they were still in it. And didn't Mozeliak say that they felt like they were still in it?
Mozeliak takes a different tact than Evans in San Francisco in the sense that he just said, we're not, you know, he doesn't comment on players individually, gotcha. Especially if they're in another organization. But he did say that patience is the Cardinals' best asset in this. And Derek Gould, who also is a regular on the show and has been on twice this week, said that while some fans are frustrated because they think the Cardinals are all in on Stanton and therefore not working on plan B, C, and D, he pointed out that all the while the Cardinals are working on plans B, C, and D, and there's a good chance that plan B is with the exact same organization they're negotiating on Stanton anyway. So, you know, you're already ahead of the curve on if you do want to go after Ozuna or Yelich.
And for the record, I just reached out to the Cardinals to see, because they have been saying, hey, we're not commenting on Stanton, you got to respect that. And I said, does this change anything, yes or no, or do you guys feel you're still in? And they cited that they're not going to comment on the Stanton thing. Yeah. So we still...
The only thing that I want to add, and I get this a lot from people online, they ask me this question, and I kind of get opposite answers on it, so I'll give you my perspective on it. Maybe you guys can share your opinion too. Is while I do think that it is smart for the Cardinals to stay in this thing to the end, because again, you're getting the potential of getting Stanton. The idea for me, for example, and let's use JD Martinez or let's use Mike Moustakas, because those are two big names, two guys that are going to get paid a lot of money this offseason. Like for me, I don't know how you guys see this, but if they were to pivot and sign one of those two guys to a long-term deal, I mean, to me, doesn't that eliminate Stanton at that point from the conversation?
Sure,
for me, that
it does.
B eliminates plan A, right? So I don't see both of those things happening. So using the words, oh, you know, we're going to be very patient, like I buy it, but that's only good enough until I see one of those moves happen. And
But that's the good thing for the
right?
Cardinals is that everyone else seems to be waiting for the big domino to fall. So the Cardinals, and I know for a fact that they've been planning scenarios before the talks even started about which direction they can go. If A doesn't happen, then B and C. So they've had the luxury of baseball being at a standstill with all the other free agents until this domino falls, and that could change, but they've had the luxury of having time to try to work through this thing.
Right. Okay. Yeah, no, I get it. I think that they'll end up doing fine. It's just for me, I guess let's throw a hypothetical. Let's have fun with this again. A hypothetical out there. Let's say as of next week at this time, Stanton is still unsigned by anyone, right? Let's say, and we have no clarity whatsoever. We're still here next Friday, but the Cardinals have signed Mike Moustakas. At that point, you know, I think, right? He's not going to the Cardinals at that point.
I would,
even though we have no clarity and we don't know for sure, Or, I don't know, do you guys think that they could pull that off, too? Like, that, I'm just throwing that out as a hypothetical.
I think if it's Stanton, it's not another big bat, but they do have other needs. I think they obviously need bullpen help. And also, I think they're probably going to get another starter, not a big name, but just to add, I think they need more depth in that rotation. So they do have other needs. I think Stanton would be their big bat. If not, it could be two big bats of not the same caliber of Stanton.
Right. Gotcha. Well, listen, it just continues on, and I'll just do the best I can to stay on this thing. It's really absorbed a lot of my time, as you guys know, but it'll come to an end soon, and then we can move on to everything else, I guess.
Well, we appreciate you sharing your time with us. Our listeners really have enjoyed it.
Well, thanks, guys. And I got to tell you, and I say this when I go on San Francisco, too, it is, you know, to me, and I don't know the way that this is going to end up, but I've always been in touch with the Cardinals fans, and I've mentioned this with you guys, living in Florida and being around spring training and being in Jupiter every year, but the passion that the Cardinals fans and the Giants fans have shown, it is a real shame to me that with how badly the Cardinals want Stanton, how badly the Giants want Stanton, and someone is not going to get him, and it's a shame to me because it's really been a fun ride for me to see how passionate the fan bases have been.
Yeah, both fan bases super passionate here in St. Louis. People are and have been following the story, Craig, obviously for the last month. So I know people want to come to an end and then see what would happen if Stanton is not a member of the Cardinals. And we've appreciated you being on the show, I think, three times this week. So thank you as always, and I'm sure we'll talk again next week. Have a great weekend, man.
Okay, guys. Thanks for having me. Have a great weekend.
That's Craig Mish with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Your thoughts, 855-282-8255, 855-282-8255. Send your emails in the morning after at InsideSTL.com for the Hot Shots email today. And we will be at Hot Shots for a live broadcast of this program on Thursday, December 14th. Hot Shots on Manchester, presented by Bud Select, the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Eddie McVay with us at 8:15 for the Maggie O'Brien's Picks of the Week, and Lisa Ann, ABN Hall of Famer, for our fantasy football segment. That's at 9:15. And then, of course, the Hot Shots email of the day. What did you guys think of what Craig Mish had to say?
Still ambiguous.
Seems more ambiguous to me.
Yeah, because, I mean, he was a guy who was kind of convinced it was, and he never said, I know everything. So, I give him credit for that. But he was convinced it was going to wrap up, it was going to go in a certain direction, and obviously it's taken a turn. I don't know anyone else that knew it was going to go this way.
No, I don't think anybody knows except Stanton and his agents. I don't think the clubs know.
And some people on Twitter that pretend they know.
Well, yeah, you'd just be pretending. I think if the Cardinals knew and they knew it wasn't going to be them, they would have probably moved on to something else by now.
Yeah, but I'll say that I do agree. I mean, I do believe this. Because everyone else is waiting. You know, you haven't read a lot about who's leading the other free agent sweepstakes. Not that Stanton is a free agent, but certainly there's an element of that. So the Cardinals have had time to try to work this to their best deal, mm-hmm. and see if they can get it done. And and they're ready to go in another direction once they get word they're not getting Stanton. And I don't think it's hurt them at all.
Enjoying listening from Little Rock, 43 years a Cardinal fan, Doug. That's from the 501. I had a 501 area code, 1999.
Did you like it?
Down in Little Rock at KTHV. Hello to all my fans in Arkansas.
Yeah, and you have a lot of them. You know, Cardinal fans are lucky, too, that there's someone like me as a rights holder. So when they do sign Ether, I'm here to say it's just as good as getting Stanton.
That'd be like getting Ty Wigginton again.
No,
I think they need another outfield.
No, I did some digging. This Ether signing is just as good as getting Stanton.
I didn't know he was still even in the game until he showed up in one of the playoff games as a pinch hitter. How old is he now? He's got to be pushing 40, isn't he?
I'm just having a little fun with the Ether scenario.
I just don't think that's going to be the difference maker.
Guys, well, if the Cardinals don't get that big bat, I'm still willing to be Doug's big bat. That's from Caitlyn Jenner's coin purse.
I don't know.
Oh, they're going to get a big bat, Monty. We don't know which one, though.
I'd like him to get two for the price of Stanton.
Doug, the NHL didn't let me put on my mask, free Dotum or Stanton to STL, or else both would have come true. Now, this is a very interesting text to me.
Really?
And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
So, are you aware of the story on the backup goalie situation for the Blues last night?
Yes,
absolutely.
there is a theory, and since this gentleman has texted in, because I wasn't going to be able to, well, I could have, but it would be irresponsible to then out names strictly based on theory, especially when this person, you know, hasn't, you know, been malicious or anything like that, that the Blues backup goalie for the first 15 minutes of the first period last night is one of the members of the diaper gang.
Oh, no.
Plowboy, you are nodding, and you said, yeah.
You can't be serious.
This guy, Tyler?
This is a confirmation. He texted me yesterday.
So it's, you're confirming this?
Yeah, because I actually played Xbox with him quite a bit when I...
Can't be serious.
Plowboy played Xbox.
Yeah. This show has tentacles.
I think we played on the same... We had this league to where everybody picks a team and they get like a fantasy draft and they can trade players. It's really fun. So we had a few years of that, and then he texted me saying, hey, Hutton's hurt, I'm dressing. I wasn't for sure how to take that. He texts every now and then. It's not like a regular thing. And so I looked, and there he was. And
So you are 100% sure the name is the person who used to call in and talk about wearing diapers on the show. 100%
sure, because Panger tagged him, who I follow, T. Stewart 92.
Well, now it's out.
And
of course they did, because that. But I didn't know. I didn't know. I had people asking me last night, and I said, honestly, I have no idea. The diaper gang thing was a brief phenomenon.
Where they were just calling. They were calling.
Right.
And
it was Daddy Padre, Kent Hutchinson, who then later got involved with the cat. You had a little situation a couple months ago, and supposedly Kent Hutchinson is the one who told Larry Nickel, who then posted things on the fan page, but actually it goes back to another radio station and someone over there. So that's a whole, how about that whole?
Yeah, I'm still a little confused by it and also appalled.
Yeah.
Great people.
So anyway, Kent Hutchinson then reached out to me and said, I don't know why my name is being brought into this. I know you guys were annoyed by the diaper thing, but I haven't called in or been involved in the show. I still listen. So then last night when somebody says, hey, is one of the members of the diaper gang the Blues backup goalie? Oh, I'm thinking, what in the hell kind of game of Mad Libs is this? But then I looked into it and I go, God, I think it might be. And now he just texted into the show. And now the Plowhawk says he plays in an Xbox league with him?
Yeah, we used to.
That's how the Blues find their backup goalie?
My Xbox crapped out. And so we always talked puck. You know, I'd have my headset on and we'd exchange, you know, commentary throughout the game. And when I saw the interview pregame, I think with Panger or somebody, I heard the voice, and you could just close your eyes and picture, Doug, I'm going to rip off your diapy, and that was him.
That was the Blues backup goalie.
Yes.
Now, when he texts you, hey, Hutton's hurt, I'm dressing, do you give him the emoji, which is a polite way of saying, it's not even worth me texting you back, I'm just going to give you a smiley face or something?
Well, my problem was I was in the middle of a road to glory on my NCAA football, so I forgot to text back.
Doug, what's that mean, a road to glory?
Instead of a dynasty where you control everybody, mm-hmm. Road to glory is you pick one specific position, you play your high school season out, then you are ranked, and then you get recruited, and it shows if you're going to be a first or second or third string, you pick the team.
And your significant other watches you do this whole thing?
She doesn't. She knows about it.
Yeah, I would assume that's a real turn on.
So I forgot to text back. And then by that time, I was 3 hours deep into a road to glory. It's still a fantastic time. And then I see him on the pregame warmups and I'm shocked.
I'm baffled by the whole process that the league uses in these kind of situations. I believe Bortuzzo was a healthy scratch last night. Wouldn't it make more sense to put him in the goalie equipment and to have him as the backup? If Yachty or Molina goes down, the Cardinals don't call somebody from Afton Athletic Association.
No,
you got a catcher there we could use?
They don't. They call Biff.
it doesn't make any sense to me.
But here's
at all.
The thing. I mean, the backup.
You don't want an NHL player.
The backup
in there?
Was there shortly after.
Yeah. Well, he was. But
the chances of your starting goalie getting hurt, and it could happen
hurt all the time
in the opening 2 minutes. Yeah, I know they do. But
all right, I got a break because Daddy Padre, who apparently was part of the diaper crew, who apparently played Xbox and would talk on a headset with the Plowboy while he would do Road to Glory, and also was the Blues, was a you know. Who was the guy who slid into Fuhrer?
Nick Kiprios.
He was a Kiprios away from being in net last night against the Dallas Stars. Is going to call in and explain this whole thing, but I got a break. We'll have the Maggie O'Brien's picks. Blues backup goaltender Daddy Padre.
Oh, Lord.
Join us next.
I may suspend the whole Blues organization.